Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at PR@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, today, I have a special author to share with you. She is J.M. Buckler. J.M., she resides in Austin, Texas with her loving family. Every day, she thanks God for the gift of writing. The intention of her work is to show readers that even when faced with a difficult challenge, they always have the ability to see things differently, to see with compassion and love versus judgment and hate. And those are powerful words from an obviously powerful woman. So it is with great pleasure to welcome you to the network, JM.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm excited to have you. I mentioned the intention of your work before we get into your books. Why is that important to you?
You know, I feel like words are so powerful. And it took a long time for me to publish my first book. And I speak about the power of intention a lot and what it can do to someone's life. And I saw that there was a void in the marketplace, especially in the young adult generation of books. I'm an avid reader, and I've read so many of the popular series that have been turned into films and such for the young generation. And so many of those books, I enjoyed the story so much. But when I was done, when I closed the book, I said, what did I really get out of that? What tools did that give me in my real life that I could feel and be a better person? And I loved the escape of fantasy, and I loved the stories, but I knew there was something lacking. So I saw that, and I said, you know what? I have a great fantasy fiction story to share that I know anyone, and especially the younger generation, will gravitate towards, but what else can I do with that? And I said, you know what? That's what it is. I said, I can put a very nonfiction spin on these characters and allow people to connect with them on a more emotional level and show challenging situations that we all face in life, but give the reader tools to move through them instead of avoiding the topic or tiptoeing around it. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I made that intention, the work just flowed out of me. And it was almost like a head nod, you could say, from the universe of, this is what you need to be doing. And these messages need to get into the hands of as many people as possible, because I feel that it can have a very positive impact on society today.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about lots of good things here. Intention, which, mm-hmm. yeah, I think a lot of people don't think about. We kind of just trudge through our day and don't really make a plan or an intention for how we want our day to look, how we want our lives to look. So, I mean, that's a topic all in itself. And as you were speaking, I was thinking, what a delicate dance for you to not only write something that entertains, but that entertains a young audience, but then also gives or leaves a message without sounding too preachy. How do you intertwine all of that so that it works?
Yeah, it's a challenge because, you know, especially with the young adult generation, you can't come off preachy, or they're going to look at it as a self-help book, and you don't see too many teens running to Barnes & Noble or different bookstores grabbing a self-help book. So I had to be a little sneaky with it. And a lot of the dialogue exchange I use, it's from a first person perspective, and it's a female protagonist. And though she's speaking to different characters and telling her story, I use that as I'm actually talking to the reader. So I hide these very deep themes in the work, and you get to watch these characters go through these situations where you go, oh, I've lost a loved one, or someone who's maybe experienced domestic abuse, or a lot of these heavy topics I talk about in these books. I let them relate to it, but I had to be so careful because a lot of these situations I haven't experienced personally. So it was a lot of research, finding the right research, because you know how the web can be, looking at personal accounts, speaking to people who have gone through those situations and getting a firsthand account so I didn't come off as, well, you didn't experience that, so you don't have a say in it. So it was a dance around this, but I've been told, and I feel confident that I did it very well in a story where you're getting this advice of how to face these challenges without it. I'm not shoving it down your down your throat per se.
Right.
So I've had readers message me and, oh, I highlighted this in your book, and it's great because it is the key moments that I tried to come across with these messages, and they're getting it. So
it's fantasy fiction, but it goes a little deeper than that. So you kind of created your own genre here. So you've got a fantasy fiction trilogy, Seeker of Time, Stillness of Time, and I'm assuming the third is coming up. So how did you come up with this idea to write these books?
Funny, I woke up one morning. It wasn't from a dream like some authors do. I was just laying in bed, and it literally struck me as a book. And the entire story was complete in my mind, and I felt like I was given the story. I always call myself a steward of the work because a lot of times I feel like the work does, it kind of comes through me. And I knew the beginning and I knew the end. And I said, okay, it's my job to fill in the details. And that's what I did.
Wherever that muse comes from, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Well, don't ask, just go with it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe give us a little peek into the first book, Seeker of Time, just to entice our listeners with what they might expect.
Absolutely. So Seeker of Time is the first book in the series, and there's actually six books in the series. Two have been published so far. So the first one is, it's told, like I mentioned before, from the protagonist's point of view, a girl by the name of Alara. She is moved across the country at the beginning of her senior year in high school, and she's not happy about it. And her father got a new job out of nowhere, and they come from Maine all the way to Texas. And Alara's a very simple girl, not one for flashy or showy items in the world. And she likes to fly under the radar and keep a low profile. And she comes from a small school, and she's tossed into a very, very large A, like in Texas, what we would call a 6A public high school. And it's quite an adjustment. And, you know, it has the typical cliques and the mean girls and all the situation that you would find in a normal high school. And her parents are loving and supportive, but her and her mom have her like a typical teenage girl and her mother. And everything is an adjustment for her, and she meets a guy by the name Cyrus in her high school, and they hit it off right away. Good friends, and they have a very strong connection that she just can't put her finger on what it could be. Well, as she's moving into a house, the first night they're there, she goes to look out of her nice, clean windows, and all of a sudden there's a man standing outside, right outside by the fence line of her yard. He's just staring at her. And, of course, she freaks out, and she's not sure what to do, and then she ducks below the windowsill, and when she pops her head back up, he's gone. So this man with these piercing blue eyes starts appearing out of nowhere. She takes a trail to school to walk. She doesn't have a car, and he is there, and he never says anything to her. And he has her completely freaked out, and she ends up telling Cyrus about it, and he's like, I've never seen him. And all of a sudden, very strange things start happening to the two of them, things they can't explain. Now, Laura's a very practical person, and she doesn't believe in ghosts or the supernatural or magical powers or anything of that nature. And so it's very jarring to her, the things that start happening. And Cyrus is the only person she can confide in. And one day, when she's walking home from school at night, she had detention, and the man appears, and he confronts her and tells her information that turns her world upside down and makes everything that she thought was not. And I'll leave it there so I don't give everything away. But from that moment on, her life changes forever. And she's put into a situation where she's not sure who to trust, and she's not sure what is real anymore in her life.
Okay, you left us with a tease, didn't you? Now, the next book, then, Stillness of Time, picks up where Seeker of Time leaves off?
It does. I leave Seeker of Time on quite a cliffhanger, and Stillness of Time, literally, the page picks up right where the first one left off. So.
Right. And then the third book, is that out yet?
The third one is called Passage of Time, and that will release in the spring of 2019.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're still working on that?
Yeah, it's in the publishing process.
Oh, okay. Right now. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, you say there were six books in this series?
Yes, there will be six total. The first three, originally I saw it as a trilogy. Mm-hmm. And when I finished writing the third one, I said, uh-oh. Another story going on behind, like kind of behind the scenes the whole time that will be a fun twist for the reader that they never even knew was going on. And that takes place in 4, 5, and 6.
All right. So it's a double trilogy.
It gets, yes, we'll call it that.
Now, your characters, they appear to be very rich in depth. So let's talk a bit about your character development process.
A lot of authors I know will do storyboards, character development, sense of writing notes, taking, you know, sometimes they'll have a whole wall in their house, pictures and images and inspiration. And I don't function that way. It's my creative process has been, unlike several authors I know, I sit down and I just write. And to me, when I write, it's like remembering what I did yesterday in a sense. So the character development, I have such a strong connection to these characters, and obviously people in my real life have influenced a lot of their personalities per se, but it wasn't a rigid process for me. It was a very kind of organic experience with these characters, and I've had a blast getting to know them, and now they will be forever stuck in my head.
Like friends and family, really. I mm-hmm. get that same thing when I speak to so many authors that, you know, they start off with an idea of a character and then the character takes off like a bad kid and does its own thing. Yeah. And you as the writer just follows along for the ride. And I just find that so fascinating that it all is coming from you. And yet there is that some point of separation.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Now, I'm impressed. You have this book trailer that is just first class, and it has appeared then at your Cinemark movie theaters. Let's talk about the process of that. And you are in that, yes?
I am.
I love that.
That wasn't the original plan, but we had something come up, so I filled the role. And so, yes.
Well, who could have done it any better than you? You knew exactly how you wanted it to feel. So, yeah, talk about that. How did that process go for you?
Yeah, so as a self-published author, I feel that the heat is on in a sense of you really have to set the bar. And I try to be a role model for other self-published authors to say, like, let's be different. Let's do something different. So I'm always trying to find opportunities that set me apart from other authors. And I'm not looking at it as a strict competition. I always like to go a step farther than I have yesterday. So the idea, I had seen a lot of book trailers, and to be honest, I personally wasn't impressed with the majority of them. I was like, they're okay. And then I see a lot of these traditional published authors and it kind of looks just like a PowerPoint put together. So I'm like, well, they're very well known, so maybe they don't need it. And I said, but you know what? I want to go beyond that, and I want to make a book trailer that looks like a movie trailer. I want people to go, was that a movie or a book? So I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but I said, I'm going to do it. So I did everything from directing to doing the talent scout to scouting talent to doing the storyboard and a screenplay and doing it all, finding the music, everything. And it seemed a little overwhelming, but I tell everyone, take everything one day at a time. And it came together and we filmed 2 different weekends, and the 2 gentlemen that are in the trailer were actually very good friends now, and they were great. And one of them actually did the filming. I did all of the editing after the fact when we were done. And it was a great experience, and it was so fun as an author to see the book kind of come to life on the screen. And it was a fantastic process. And I saw that the opportunity from the marketing aspect of it, of how great this would be, because people love a visual if you can give them your readers. So we filmed the trailer and we did it. The idea came to me in October and we aired it on January 31st. So from concept to execution was only 3 months,
wow,
which was pretty impressive. So, and then I had a fellow author mention, hey, have you ever thought of advertising in a movie theater? And I was like, I didn't even know if you could do that. So I researched it, and sure enough, you can. And I said, you know what? I've never seen an author advertised in a movie theater. So I submitted it. We did everything. And it was funny because that's when the Black Panther was playing. And they actually aired our trailer after the Black Panther during the pre-show. And my the account executive said they weren't supposed to do that, but I guess they thought it was a movie trailer. So that's why they put it after it. So it was funny that the quality was exactly where I wanted, what I had envisioned. And I'm a firm believer that what you hold in mind tends to manifest. And I really held in mind how I wanted this to visually look to my audience. And I think we really hit it out of the park. So, yes, so we aired it for 7 weeks at the Cinemark. And it was really fun. We did posters that looked kind of like movie posters. And they hung them all next to the big blockbusters, summer blockbusters. And so it was very surreal to go into a movie theater and see yourself on the big screen.
That is impressive. I knew I was impressed when I saw the trailer, but I didn't know all the process behind it. And you did it from start to finish.
Yes.
Yeah. How exciting for you and empowering.
It was. It was a really, I struggled the majority of my life always starting something and never finishing it. So this entire process of going from writing to becoming an author has really, it's given me a lot of confidence in myself of, yes, if you put your mind to something, and it shows the difference when you're passionate about what you do, how different the outcome is in your life when you're not just, as I call, trading days for dollars, like a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of people do with their careers and stuff. But yeah, it's so different when you're passionate about what you do, because it never feels like work. Mm-hmm. I work more hours than I ever have in any job, but it doesn't feel like work.
No, I agree with that. So you've turned a corner here and become a different person. Yeah, I can tell
absolutely
just from what you're saying. Yes. What about the cover art? How did that come about?
The cover art, this is a very funny story. So I searched high and low for an illustrator. And this is all, like I mentioned, being self-published, this was a huge learning curve. I had some guidance from some people, but I really figured everything out on my own. And I searched and I looked at a huge agency in New York, and was like, gosh, it's going to, I didn't realize the amount of money you could spend on a well-known cover artist, to do your artwork. But I had once again something in mind, and I saw a picture on Instagram just randomly on a feed, and I said, oh, that's kind of cool. And I clicked on it and I saw the name, and I said, that name of that gentleman sounds very familiar. So I messaged him and I said, did you go to Millerville Academy during elementary school? And he said, of course I did. And he said my name, and come to find out, he was one of my only male friend in elementary school growing up. And we sat next to each other in class, and he would get in trouble for doodling, and I would get in trouble for spacing out. And it's hilarious that he grew up to be an illustrator, and I grew up to be an author. So I reached out to him. I said, would you be interested in doing the cover art for my books? And he said, absolutely. He had never done cover art for books. He's an artist and does movie posters, and he said, "Let's give it a shot." And anyway, we've been together ever since on this journey, and it's been fantastic. And I think it's so crucial in this ministry to connect with the people who actually see your vision. Mm-hmm. And we work great together, and he's been fantastic. So yes, he's done the promotional character images for the movie theater and my book covers as well.
Oh my gosh, what a story.
Who would it was pretty neat.
Who would have ever guessed at that time when you two bad kids were sitting next to each other that you would be collaborating on something really important in the future?
Yeah, it was pretty neat. We had a moment when he sent me the final image for the first book. We were like, wow, who would have ever thought?
I just got goosebumps. Now, you are really trying to break down that barrier between the self-published author, and traditional published authors. Even as I'm interviewing hundreds of authors, often when I ask them about the publishing process, I can hear, not in all of them, but in some of them, almost that half apologetic, oh, I self-published it, as if it were a bad thing. So, let's talk about this, because I want to empower people to realize that it's a good thing.
Yes, absolutely. And I, like I mentioned, I like to see myself as an advocate for self-published authors, because I get it. It's a money-making industry, and traditional publishers have ruled the world for so many years, but you know, when the housing market crashed in 2008, that's when the self-published industry really kicked off, because authors realized we don't necessarily need someone to put our books out there. And I'm not knocking traditional published companies at all. I have so much respect for them, but it's created this wall, I feel, between self-published and traditional published. And yes, like you so many times, I'm self-published. And I'm like, don't say it like that. Say it with confidence, because our stories are not below traditional published authors. We all have a story to tell. So I really want to try to level the playing field. I mean, I understand sending query letters and finding a literary agent today. It is tough. And if you get that and you get a deal with a traditional publisher, that's fantastic. That is great. But also, I was told from day one, you will never get your book in Barnes & Noble as a self-published author. Well, when someone tells me that, I'm going to do it. And sure enough, my books are in Barnes & Noble now, because I found a way to do it. And I had a sold-out book signing at Barnes & Noble, and even the manager told me, she said, we've never had an author do that at our location. And they only have traditional published authors. So I want to be able to give us a fair shot. You know, I'm about not having an advantage over anyone else. I don't think it should be this strong competition. Everyone loves to read, you know, and not everyone's going to like your story, and that's okay. But I really wish it wasn't this us versus them, because it shouldn't be, you know?
Oh, I agree. I mean, everyone does have a story to tell, and mm-hmm. often a self-published author just pours it all out there, whereas a lot of times in the traditional world, or so I am told, mm-hmm. you know, it's scrubbed and erased and, you know, looked at 1,000 times, that it ends out being something that, you know, maybe initially doesn't come from the heart of the writer. So
that was my fear. I did not want to. I chose self-published, and I never tried the traditional published route, because I knew my vision, and I didn't want anyone to take that away from me. I knew what I wanted the covers of my books. I wanted it to be different. I didn't want it to be the same as everyone else. And I didn't want to risk someone wanting to change my story, change the title. I like having the creative control aspect of it. And you have a lot of freedom as a self-published author, and I like being my own boss. Would I not talk to someone, a traditional publisher, if they approach me? Of course I would. Like I said, I don't have anything against it. And, you know, I understand how the industry, you know, being self-published means anyone can publish a book. I get that. So is the quality the same as traditional published? I'm not sure, but I've read traditional published books that I wasn't impressed with, and they were filled with errors and different things. So I just wish it wasn't this stark contrast between the two. I wish it, you know, a lot of these book awards, very prestigious, they won't even let you submit if you're self-published. And it's small things like that that I would love to try to break those barriers down and allow a level playing field where we can compete, you know, with the traditional published authors as well.
Well, I think we're heading in that direction. And with conversations like we're having today to expose it a little bit more, and people like yourself who advocate.
I hope so.
I do think so. So what was your publishing process like? And did you run into anything that you now say, I wouldn't do that again?
Yes, absolutely. Every day I learn, and I told myself early on, I won't be the person that will say I'll never do this, because the industry changes so much and you grow so much as an author. And I was very fortunate and connected with the right people for my first book. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, and I rushed. And that is the one thing that I would tell anyone in the industry: don't rush. I know we have deadlines and you have goals and things you want to meet, but at the end of the day, once that book is out there, it is out there. And what happened to me is I released Seeker of Time in September, and then I had this huge shift, and I grew so much, and I really found my style of writing, and the whole show, Don't Tell, finally made sense. And all the very basic things of writing, it clicked, and it reflected in my second book. So to me, there was a stark contrast before the first and the second. And it was just driving me crazy. I was losing sleep over it, looking at my first book, going, oh my gosh, if I could only redo it. And I was told, don't even think of it. Every author looks at their first book and wishes they could do something different. But to me, I said, this is the introduction to my series. I have to make sure it is as solid and as perfect as I can get it. So I did. I spent 3 weeks, and I completely revised my first book, even though everyone told me not to. I redid the interior, the whole design, the outside, everything. And I sat for about 16 hours a day at the computer until I got it done. And I felt just this very strong urgency that I had to. And just recently released the newer version of it. And it's fantastic now. And now I feel at peace that I can finally, it's like a, I guess when you have a college kid age and you can say, go be great, leave the house. That's how it feels now. Like I feel at peace with that book, and the writing style matches the rest of my books now. So yes, so I would say don't rush and take your time and always go with your gut. You're going to have opinions from editors and people in the industry, and everyone's going to tell you what you should be doing with your book. But at the end of the day, take it with a grain of salt and realize that it's your story to tell. Mm-hmm. So be patient.
Excellent advice. Excellent. And, you know, I think we have these self-imposed deadlines. I've written a few books myself, and it's like, all right, by January, this is going to be done. And then it's not. And then you feel this sense of urgency. And I really applaud and admire you for stopping, pulling the book back and saying, I need to make this the best it can be, especially as you say, it is the entrance book into your series. Yeah. And you're not going to get readers to book two and three if book one isn't on par. So that was perfect sense. Now, here's a question that most authors struggle with. They say, how do I find the time? Or they ask, how do I find the time to do what I love to do? And that is write, while having to also wear that marketing hat, Facebook, Twitter. Yes. How do I get this out there? Any tips?
Yeah, I wear about 15 hats a day. I think my husband works offshore, so I play single parent half a year to a four-year-old. And when do I write? When my husband's gone, I write from 8:30 at night till about 2 a.m. in the morning when my son's sleeping, and then I'm up at 7. So it's a hustle, and it's how much you want to put into it, how much you're willing. You know, I tell authors, you can't write a book and then go sit it in the woods and hope someone's going to find it. You know, as soon as you hit that publish button, it becomes a business, and you have to look at it as one. And there's so many apps that can help you do posts, so you can go ahead and plan them out. And I try to do that for a whole month, and then it's one less thing I have to do. I think you have to look at who you're marketing toward. You know, my generation and who I'm marketing toward is Instagram. Facebook and Twitter to them is dead. So I put most of my efforts into Instagram, even though I do use Facebook and Twitter, because I had three 77-year-old men come to my book signing telling me how much they enjoyed the book. So I don't want to just put myself into one category, but so I try to reach all of them. But it is a constant hustle all day, every day. And it's really how much are you willing to put into it. So that's why I'm constantly trying to find new avenues, and like interviews and book signings. And, you know, anytime I meet someone, I work my, yes, I'm an author, somehow into the conversation.
Well, exactly. You can't be shy either.
No, exactly. Book signings, you know, you need to stand, you need to be engaging. You can't just sit there and wait for someone to come to you. It's figuring it out and figuring out what works. And I always tell people, I'm never going to tell you what to do, but I can tell you what not to do, because I've learned that over the years.
Yes. See, and I find so many authors say that writing is a very solitary thing. And that's one of the reasons why they write, is that they prefer to be alone. They're very introverted, introspective. So to get out there with the masses and talk up their books when, you know, they're in an elevator and hand out a card, I'm an author, that's just not going to happen. So yeah, that those marketing hats are a challenge for a lot of authors.
I was very uncomfortable. I love being by myself. And my mom, hilarious, she's like, oh, you know, my daughter's an author. And I would, like, my cheeks would turn red and I would be all embarrassed about it. It was really pushing yourself out of, you know, if you stay in a comfort zone, you're never going to get to experience other things. So you have to push yourself out, especially as a self-published author. It's one thing if you have a publisher doing your marketing and doing all of this stuff for you. But as a self-published author, I feel like it's very crucial. You've got to put yourself out there.
Yep. And you said something very important. I wrote it down. As soon as you hit the publish button, it becomes a business.
Yes.
There you have
it. A lot of people don't want to think of it, but it is.
Unless, of course, you're just writing for your own enjoyment. So I guess you have to wonder what your purpose is. Alrighty, so what's next for you? Are you working on the double trilogy? Any other thoughts beyond that?
Yeah, I just finished the audiobook, the first For Seeker of Time, and that was a great experience. I used my own voice and really got to tune into my acting background, which was fun, and that was a great experience. And yeah, I've had some other things I can't speak of yet.
Okay.
Lots of good things. Lots of good things coming. But yes, right now my focus is on finishing the edits and for Passage of Time and getting that one released.
Excellent. All righty.
I'm very anxious readers.
I am sure. I'm sure. Well, now, is there anything we missed today that you wanted to talk about?
No, I would just love people to, my one thing that I would encourage people to do is to do something, whatever it is in your life. Get out there and do something. If you like to knit sweaters, great. Go get some yarn and do it. If you think you can't write a book, you will surprise yourself. So just do something.
I love that advice too. Very, very positive and very applicable. I think a lot of people today are so kind of self-involved with the just technology and worrying about their phones and texting and tweeting, and people aren't really stepping out to really become a fulfilled and kind of a self-actualized person.
Yeah, and don't compare your it's so easy on social media to compare your life to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to remember you're only seeing what people want you to see on social media. So don't forget that. And, you know, and yeah, put your phone down for a day and enjoy life.
Thank you. That's always my advice. Yeah. Well, where can folks go then to learn more about you? And most importantly, where can they purchase your books?
Yes, my website is jmbuckler.com. And that has the links to where you can purchase my books, reviews, the book trailer. Everything is there. Instagram is where I am most active, and that is author_JM Buckler. I am on Facebook and Twitter as well with the same handle, and my books you can purchase paperback and ebook, both on Amazon. Ebook is available on iTunes, Kobo, Nook, and Kindle, and audiobook will be available in a couple weeks on Audible, iTunes, and on Amazon as well. And Barnes & Noble in the local area in Austin has hard copies on their shelves and the local bookstores in the Austin, Texas area. But yes, you can purchase them at any Barnes & Noble. They can order it for you as well.
You are so inspiring. jmbuckler.com. jmbuckler, B-U-C-K-L-E-R. jmbuckler.com. The book is Seeker of Time, The Stillness of Time. My friend, this has been an amazing conversation. Thank you not only for sharing you with us today, but also giving authors that inspiration to speak up and be confident to say that, yes, I am a self-published author.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.